My request was, please, dear God, don't let Mother die. I did not realize that others could hear me above their conversation. In a moment, I could hear Mother say, Charlie, go get her. Daddy came in and lifted me off my knees and said, Mother has something to tell you. By the time I returned to the bedroom, the visitors had left for us to be alone as a family. Mother assured me that she was not going to die, and Daddy added his assurance to that. The Lord had always been very close to me, as Mother taught me about His great love from the beginning of my life. I know He answered my childish prayer because the faith of a child is a great power with God. After I was grown, Mother explained the complications she suffered, and her getting well was indeed a miracle. After Mother was well, life settled into a happy pattern. Baby Evelyn received a lot of love and attention. She had big blue eyes and blonde hair and looked like her daddy. When she crawled, it was very exciting, for she sat up and jumped along. Mother made her darling little coveralls to cover her legs, for she moved one leg to help pull herself along. Daddy said his mother told him that he crawled that way. Daddy's mother died a few months before Evelyn's birth. Mother said she was such a kind, sweet lady, just opposite of the first mother-in-law. Daddy's father had died when he was just a young boy. He had two brothers, Jimmy and Harvey, three sisters, Amanda, Julia, and Jamie. Daddy and all his sisters and brothers worked in the mill. The older brother, Jimmy, and his family moved to Oklahoma soon after his mother died. His wife, Maggie's family, lived fine. Since Mother was at home full time, I had the protection from Jewel's mistreatment. By this time, Jewel was a teenager and had friends that Grandmother disapproved of. They disagreed a lot, but since Jewel was Grandfather's favorite child, no discipline was ever taken. Jewel had once had complete control over the two younger boys, Carl and GT. Carl was a handsome child with the beautiful black curly hair and was large for his age. He had a mind of his own and grew tired of her control. He rebelled and she would start beating him. Then he would let her have it back. She soon found she was no match for him. He never provoked her, but she got great delight out of setting him up, and then would wake up Grandfather, who worked a night shift, and poor Carl would be whipped with a leather strap. Jewel was always right in Grandfather's eyes. Prior to Mother and Daddy's marriage, some land was for sale, joining my grandparents' property, and Mother bought it. Mother had saved enough money over the years to consider building a small home. There was a constant unpleasantness because of Jewel, and Mother and Daddy rented a small house on William Street, which belonged to Dr. Horace Ollie Sparks, the doctor who delivered Evelyn. We lived there about 1 year, during which time Our small three-room house was built at 110 East Smith Street. During the years we lived in my grandparents' home, there was always a lot of relatives visiting. Since I was the oldest grandchild, I had the opportunity to get to know my great uncles and great aunts, as well as two great grandmothers. Great grandmother Hilbert was always ready to help any of her large family. She had stood by mother during the influenza epidemic and my birth. She came when Grandmother Hilbert had surgery. Mother stayed at the hospital with grandmother, and great-grandmother stayed with the family and took care of us. It was in this house at 108 East Smith Street that the Hilbert children and grandchildren heard stories about their ancestors when grandmothers and other relatives visited. Great-grandmother Hilbert, formerly Elizabeth Jane Lockridge, told about meeting a young Confederate soldier named William Riley Hilbert during the Civil War. He returned after the war and won her hand in marriage. There were 12 children born to this couple, and the family farm was near present-day Ellisville, Alabama. While serving in the Confederate Army, he was in the 5th Battalion of Alabama 2nd Army, Company C, Rhodes Division, serving under the command of Lieutenant General Richard S. Ewell. He was in the following battles: Vicksburg, Fredericksburg, Gettysburg, Sailor's Creek, Lynchburg, Shiloh, and many more. While in battle at Gettysburg, he was severely wounded, shot through the lung, the mouth, and one side. Great-grandfather was with General Robert E. Lee and his troops at the surrender at Appomattox. In order to work out the details, there was a meeting of 6 officers, 3 each, Union and Confederate, appointed to implement the surrender. This meeting took place at the home of Wilmer McLean. The courthouse building could be seen from the McLean house. On April the 9th, 1865, General Grant sent a message regarding the surrender to General Stanton. And on April 10th, 1865, General Lee wrote General Order No. 9 outlining the terms of the agreement. Later, Grandfather Hilbert, Great-Grandfather Hilbert, an account was made of the survivors in his battalion. They started out with 15,000 men at the time of surrender. There was 1,899 left. General Grant at first was going to let only officers be given their sidearms and horses upon parole. He reconsidered after General Lee explained that the men were small farmers and needed their horses or mules to make a crop. The Confederate Army did not have money to provide these things, and the men had brought their personal property. From Virginia to Georgia is a long ride, but great-grandfather made it back to Cave Springs, Georgia, with his sidearms and horse. After great-grandfather and great-grandmother's marriage, they had a big family, and He lived out his life as a mail carrier and a farmer. When his many sons grew old enough, they mainly took care of the farm. William Riley Hilburn was born August 9, 1844, and died July 2, 1911, at the age of 67. His death was so tragic after having survived such severe injuries during the war. He was making a collar for his little dog, and his knife slipped and punctured his hand. He filled the wound with snuff to stop the bleeding. Soon, blood poisoning developed. At that time in history, doctors really did not have any way to help him. They sought to ease his suffering by giving him morphine. Mother was about 8 years old at that time and could remember him well. She said his suffering became so intense that morphine would not ease him. Her family lived about 3 miles down from him, and they could hear his tortured screams well at their home. Several years ago, Dr. Theresa Kaiser, superintendent of Piedmont City Schools, and I went by to talk to one of my cousins, Irene Gunner. Irene had great-grandfather Hilburn's war medals and graciously allowed me to hold them. It was a beautiful and sacred experience for me. There are three of them, and on the back of one, great-grandfather had carved in the medal his initials, W.R.H. Dr. Kaiser took pictures for me, and I regret that I did not get one showing his initials. During the years of my childhood, when great-grandmother Hilburn visited often, she also told us about the Hilburn ancestor who fell in love with a Cherokee Indian girl and married her. There's no information available for me in order to identify the couple. Great-grandmother Hilburn was a great storyteller who included a lot of haint tales which had been handed down for many generations. She was born February 3, 1862, and died June 1, 1933, at the age of 71. Both of these great-grandparents were buried in the Pleasant Gap Cemetery. I was very happy living in our own home, and I was about 10 years old by then. I had started piano lessons by the time I was 9, and my teacher was Mrs. Guy Webb. Evelyn was a never-ending source of joy to me. Although Mother had saved a good-sized down payment on the house, there was a mortgage to me. I remember well the summer on my 10th birthday. Mother went back to work as a part-time employee to fill in while others had vacations. The mortgage necessitated this. Mother and Daddy would leave early in the morning and leave us asleep and all doors locked. She left plenty of food cooked for both breakfast and lunch. We had an oil stove, and I could light it and warm up anything we needed. The necessity of being careful had always been instilled in me. Evelyn was such a dear, and she talked a lot for one so young. No problem was encountered all summer. It was a little shorter route to work to walk down by the Seaboard Railroad tracks, which ran behind our house. When it was about time, her mother and daddy to get home. I would take Evelyn to the back, and we would wait. When they would come into sight, we would start waving.